for you and me to think about the word truth. Truth. You know, this time of year, we go through this every year at this time. Graduation. By the way, all, if any of you, a couple I see here at least, have graduated already, and maybe some soon. I want to say congratulations to you, and our prayers and love is with you. But going through graduation ceremonies and watching students, and we have a lot of students here today, a lot of potential students, or a few anyway, well, more than a few, some potential students here, and young people, children. And school does this much anyway. It gives children facts. We studied some over at Path of Life School about Proverbs, and Proverbs are truths. Proverbs are facts and something that you can count on to be there. So school is a process by which we gain facts or truth, information, proverbs, and with the intent that we will go out and use those in life, in business, in our family, in our daily discourse of life, how to talk, how to write a letter. We learn the right grammatical way, at least I hope we do. We learn about mathematics. We learn about science and gravity. And all those things we will use all through life. And sometimes it gets a little tedious and sometimes it gets a little bit redundant. But yet we'll find as we get older, we'll refer back to those things. I thought, wouldn't it be rather interesting, sad but interesting, if children went to school but there was no proverbs, there was no truths, and all the truths were subjective to that day and subjective to that teacher, and there was really no true mathematical facts, or there was no grammatical facts, that there really was no scientific facts, and gravity was this way one day, and tomorrow there was no gravity, and the next day gravity pushed instead of pulled. Now, wouldn't that be a rather interesting life? Be a little chaotic, be a little serious. I'm glad that when we learn things that are truths, they perpetuate with us, and they go right on with us. And God wants you and me to know truth. God wants me and you to know the proverbs of His Word, and I don't mean just the book of Proverbs, but the truth and the facts, that when you and I go out, we have something to rely on. We have a base. We have a foundation. We have facts that are genuine and are correct, and they'll always work that way. Wouldn't it be kind of interesting if that wasn't so in life? I'd like to give you some definitions for the word truth. I'm sure you know or thought about these before, perhaps. Truth can mean conformity to fact or reality. Exact accordance with that which has been, which is, or has been, or shall be. The true state of facts or things. Veracity. Purity from falsehood. These are definitions of truth. Fidelity and constancy. It means honesty, virtue, and sincerity. Exactness, conformity to rule, real fact, or just principle, of just principle, rather. Real fact of just principle. Let me say that correctly. Real state of things. The truth is the real state of things. May I interject right here, one of our human characteristics is to deny the real state of things. But truth is the real state of things. It also means freedom from deceit or distortion of facts. So truth is a pretty powerful word. It really doesn't leave any room for a margin of error. It's fact. It's proverb. It's something that is today. It was yesterday, and it'll be tomorrow. It's established. It's a fact. It's concrete. We can build on it. We can be guided by it. And it will not change. And it will meet the needs and it will meet the requirements of life. Truth is a sure foundation. upon which one can build and not be ashamed. Sometimes in life, maybe we've built something. And after a while, it begins to tilt or sag, or it begins to be misshapen. And we're kind of embarrassed about it. Truth is a foundation upon which you and me can build, and we don't have to be ashamed about it. You know, that's true of God's Word, and that's true of facts and truths of life. Truth will prove itself to be what it states. Now, you think about that. Wisdom is justified of its children. When all the final analysis are made, when all the final records are brought in and summed up, we'll find that truth, without question, proved itself to be exactly what it says. The word of the Lord is sure, folks. And we will find in the end, if we do not come to that at this time, that it is accurate. And it'll prove itself to be exactly what it stated it was. Truth will do that too. You take the square in a building. Well, there's a theory or a truth out there that if you have a right angle and all your buildings are square, then your diagonal measurements across this room will be exactly the same. That's a fact. It's a known measurement. And you can say, well, that's corner square and that corner square, and you can measure it many different ways, perhaps. But the truth of the matter is, if you measure diagonally, those measurements will be exactly. And if they're not exact, regardless of whatever other measurement may say, your building's not square. Truth will do exactly what it states itself to do. Truth will stand the test of scrutiny of the skeptic and of the believer. I'm not afraid to look into the Word of the Lord. Are you? I hope not. I'm not afraid to ask God what He means. The Word of God, the truth of God, truth in itself, will stand the scrutiny of the skeptic, the gainsayer, the person who wants to prove it not so. It'll stand that test. And it'll also stand the test of the believer. It's a foundation, remember, that we can build on, erect our life, our home, our soul on. And it'll stand the scrutiny of whatever we want to test, we want to put to it. Over in John, the 18th chapter and the 38th verse, Pilate was questioning Christ. And Christ said something to the effect that he came to bear witness of the truth. And Pilate was probably in a quandary. Well, we know he was. He was hearing Christ and seeing Christ. And he was hearing the Jews and seeing the Jews. He had the Roman law in his background. He had his authority. He had his preferences. He had the influence of other people around him. And everyone, to some degree, was clamoring that they were right. I'm correct. Isn't that kind of where we get sometimes in life? All these voices. You know, the Bible speaks about if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? May I say that God is not the author of confusion? And if there's uncertain sounds, you can rest assured the Lord didn't do it. If not something God did, God gives us truth. God gives us facts. God gives us proverbs. Because He wants us to know the truth, that we might be guided by it. So Pilate, in his quandary, he said in that 38th verse, what is truth? I never at this point, when I'm thinking about Pilate, question him and say, well, Pilate, you're wrong. You should. I believe Pilate had, at his point in life, a legitimate question. You know, sometimes in life, you and me come to places. What am I going to do? How am I going to behave? How am I to behave? And we wonder, what's the right way? Well, Pilate was perhaps here. Obviously, he was. He said, what is truth? I'm glad God and Christ gave us some answers, and we want to look into that this morning. I want to think about a verse over in Romans, the 6th chapter and the 16th verse. And I want to use it this way. He said, 6 and 16 of Romans, Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey? I want you to think about this a little bit this way. What is truth? What do you accept? What is truth? What do you believe? What is truth? What do you yield yourself to? What is truth? What influences are in your life that's crying out to you and clamoring to you and asking you and trying to dictate to you? Paul said that whoever we yield ourselves to, we become their servant. You and me are faced with a myriad of information. False, accurate, so-so. And whoever we yield ourselves to be our truth, that's what we're going to obey. Whether it's of the Spirit and the Word of God, or whether of it's the God of this world, we're going to obey. That becomes our truth. We might say Pilate didn't have a foundation of truth. So he did what he thought was expedient. You know, expediency is not always godliness, and it's not always the best way. But God's way is best. So he asked, what is truth? Well, I ask us this morning, who are we yielding ourselves to? Who are we putting ourselves under the authority of? What are we putting ourselves under the authority of? Because that becomes our truth. It could be a cult. It could be the fashions of the world. It could be a myriad of things that's out there that you and I accept in our heart, falsely maybe, and we allow it to guide us and be a truth to us. Over in John 17:17, the Lord answers the question, though not specifically directed at Pilate. But he said in 17:17 of John, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, the word of God. However, God's word has taken shape down through the generations of time. The spoken word, the word God himself, The manifestation of Jesus Christ on this earth, or in the Word in the flesh, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost. However the truth has manifested itself, it's always, or however the Word, rather, has manifested itself, whatever personage it took, through the voice of prophets, through the voice of the psalmist, however it came to us through Moses' law, the Word has always been the truth. It has always been the standard that is never changing. It is something that you and I can find as a foundation, and you look at people who have truly established that as the foundation of their life, and it will prove itself to be exactly what it said it will be. It is a firm foundation that has been laid for every one of us. So this morning, what is your truth? Is it your own mind? How about your own appetites? Your own lust? Is it our own personalities or our passions? We all have those, don't we? We all have passions. We all have feelings. We all have makeups. And did you know if we're not careful, we will adapt, I should say, try to adapt, or we'll go out and find an adapted truth that'll fit our passions, that will mesh and walk along and go along with, cohesively, with our passions, our prejudices, whatever they may be, with our lust, our feelings, our emotions. But God's Word, sometimes, many times, will be contrary to my passion. It'll be contrary to my feeling. It'll be contrary to the things that I desire. Who are we going then to follow? So this morning, I think it's a real valid question. What is your truth? What have you accepted as your truth this morning? Have you accepted God's Word as your truth? In all of its power, all of its glory, in all of its honesty. God's Word is so honest, that's one of the definitions of truth. Honesty. God's Word is so honest, He can't lie to you. Can you imagine that? My passions, my pride, my flesh, oh, it can just make up little stories however I want it to go. If I really want to do something, I can make up the prettiest little story to vindicate, make that, I can do that. God can't do that. God can't smile and say you're doing great when you're doing a lousy job. He'll tell you. He won't say lousy probably, but he'll tell you. I'm not doing too good. But I want to help you and I want to show you and I want to guide you. And hey, I laid a foundation for you. Will you get on this foundation? I don't want to knock you off. I want to put you on it. See, God wants to put us on the foundation. Truth didn't come to debilitate us. It came to give us ability. It didn't come to make us creatures of habit, but it came to make us children of God. It came with grace and truth. Truth was manifest in Jesus Christ. So what is your truth this morning? What have you allowed yourself to believe? And what you believe, folks, it's going to dictate to you. You're going to yield to that. Over in Psalms 117, a little scripture here I kind of enjoyed thinking about. 117:1-2. Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise Him, all you people. People look for things to praise in other people. It's okay. It's all right to praise someone for doing good. Sure it is. But it's also good to praise God. It's also good to thank God and say, Lord, thank you for what you've done. What are we going to praise Him for today? Well, the Bible's full of reasons, but here's a couple David mentioned. For His merciful kindness is great toward us. That's a good reason to praise God. What if you was walking down the wrong road, thinking you was going somewhere and you was almost late and you just had just enough time to get there and someone said, where are you going? Well, I'm going to so-and-so. And well, you're not going that way unless you go all the way around the world. If you'll turn around and go back that way, you'll get there. Aren't you glad for someone's kindness to us? Someone's generosity? That's something to thank God for. And he said, another reason, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise the Lord. It'll stand the test. It'll stand the trials. It'll stand the questioning. It'll stand the skepticism. It'll stand the scrutiny. If you and me will be honest before God, God's honesty will stand up to all the scrutiny, all the things that we might ask of it. And if we go to the Lord with a believing heart and an honest heart, the truth will liberate us. So that's something to praise God for. That forever and always, His truth will be. It's not go from century to century, Sunday to Sunday, passion to passion, child to child. The truth of the Lord endureth forever. I like that idea. So that's something to praise God for. That God is established in this. The songwriter said, in this changing world below, lead me gently as I go. In this changing world, God has established the plumb line of His Word. He has said, I will visit it no more. This is in Amos. He said, I'll establish my plumb line, and He won't go by that way anymore. That is settled forever in heaven. You're not going to change the plumb line. You're not going to skew the plumb line to fit the building or fit the wall. No, you're going to change the wall. You're going to change the building. You're not going to change the plumb line. God's not going to come back by and visit it and say, you know, second thought, He's allowed His plumb line to be established. His Word, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. That's something to praise God for. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, children, that the teachers teach you the same thing they taught me over 40 years ago. 2 + 2 = 4. Praise the Lord for that. Sure. That's so simple. We understand that. What if they changed? And I'm trying to do something with 2 + 2 = 4, and this little child comes along and says, Brother Stanley, we're going to build something. I say, okay, what are we going to build? They tell me, well, what are we going to use? This. And, okay, we're going to go. We're going to add some numbers now to get our right dimensions. Okay, well, 2 + 2, what is that? And they say 6. I say, no, it's 4. No, Miss Smith, Miss Jones, Mr. Jones taught me it was 6. Wouldn't that be chaotic? Sectism came along, said, we're going to change. We're going to make it adaptable. We're going to make it relevant. We're going to make it in such a way that whoever wants to measure can measure. And it'll fit. You bring your 2 + 2 = 4, and you bring your 2 + 2 = 6, and your 2 + 2 = 26. Bring it all together, and it'll all fit. We can cram it in there one way or another. that chaotic? Aren't you glad the truth of the Lord endureth forever? Stands the test, stands the trials. Another scripture in Psalms 100 in verse 5. He said it endureth to all generations. Thank the Lord. That it's not just from generation to generation and it changes as their needs. You know, the one thing that people fail to realize in this modern world we live in is the carnality of man. There's seems like there's programs, and I'm not against every program that comes down the pike. Don't get me wrong. But there seems like there's a mindset in programs that given man a chance, he's so inherently good, he'll work it out. Well, I find that man is not inherently good. I think down through the generations of time, man has proved themselves not to be inherently good. We are deceitfully wicked. And we're going to do the deeds of our father, the devil, without Jesus Christ to come, intervene, and change things. So we need to recognize in this life that people need to recognize that the truths that are established by people, first of all, they're going to change. Secondly, they're not going to affect the heart of man. And they're not going to change him into a good person. Only the truth of the Word of God. And it'll go down to every generation. It's the same. Honesty, integrity, humility, modesty, chasteness. All those things are not changeable. They are from God. And I thank God something to rejoice in. I want to look this morning too now at a few things that truth has the power to do. If you think about truth, it's dynamite, power. It's authority. And in the perfect state of law, truth prevails. In the perfect state of law, down at the courthouse, truth will override passion and prejudice, surmising in what I thought or what I believe or what they believe. In its theoretical state, truth will see through all of that and truth will determine the right or the wrong of a situation. That's in theory in court. It has power. It has authority. It has authority to judge, to discern. And one scripture this morning that came to my mind is John 8 and 32. I am so glad of the liberating power of truth. And you shall know the truth. It's available to us, folks. And it'll set you free. What does it do for us? It has power. It liberates us. It liberates the heart. He said, a new heart I'll give you. It liberates the soul. It liberates the body. It liberates the spirit to serve God as God intended it. What will it make us free from? Oh, there's so much we could say here. From sin. It actually has the power, if we will bring it into our life and believe it, to become sons of God. To those who believe the report, to those who believe, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. This morning, if we truly accept the truth, it has the regenerating power of God in it. It'll actually make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. It'll set us free from the slavery of sin. It truly will do that for us if we will accept it in our heart. The truth has the power to liberate us from error. That goes physically, and what you've learned in school, children, you maybe growing up, you learned something that wasn't right. Maybe you learned something that you just thought, Mom and Dad didn't teach you anything wrong. It's just that you came up with an idea on your own. There's a book, I have at the house somewhere, and it's called The Reason Why. I think I've told you the reason why. We've got the book, The Reason Why. So I won't go into that. But the reason why was written in the late 1800s, after the Civil War somewhere. And that book is, Why Does Water Run Downhill? It's just, you know, how does rain form? And you can read that book, and it's just question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. It's really a kind of an amusing book, and it's very factual sometimes. But did you know the truth that's in that book is not the truth that some of you college people studied in physics? It's changed because their concept, see, their concepts of what happened, it wasn't based on scientific work, it was just based on some theory or something. And they had to, if you had to write that book today, print that book today, you'd have to severely edit that book. You know, the good thing about God's truth is it will liberate us from error. So you go to school, little children, young children, and you go off to college, and you start learning facts, true things, and it starts breaking down things that maybe you've learned in error. This morning, if there's error in our life, God wants to liberate us from that. He wants His children not to make mistakes. He doesn't want us to go blundering through life. He doesn't want us going out and pulling out in the intersections of life, not knowing where we're going. God wants us to know where we're going and how we're going to get there and know who's guiding us. The truth will eliminate or will liberate us from the mistakes, from confusion, and from wrong influences. Do you know the Bible teaches me that evil communications corrupt good manners? Young people, listen to this because the Word backs it up. It matters who your friends are. You're never impolite or discourteous to anyone. You love all men. And you never are cruel or unjust or never look down your nose at any man or any person. With that said, it matters who your friends are. It matters in your mind. It matters in your life. And it matters what you accept as truth. Did you know the truth has liberating power this morning to separate us from the wrong influences? Sometimes, and I'll use this very, I'm using it in a physical way. Sometimes a young man or a young lady can get physically attracted to someone that's not the right person. The truth will empower you to see and to know and to liberate you from the wrong attachments, from the crowds you run with, from the friends and associates you have. And I'm not saying that against any person. I'm saying God wants to liberate us from the wrong influences. We've talked a little bit about what if there was no truth? What if there was no facts? What if there was no rule? What if there were no laws? You know, that'd be anarchy, wouldn't it? And, you know, I don't know of anyone, yes, they are, I'm sure they are, who is a true anarchist. But I don't know of anyone, but I know there are, I suppose. Someone that wants no laws, strongest survive. I'm glad God loves the weak. God loves the meek. God loves people. And He loves us all. And He has established truth for us to prosper in, to grow in, to nurture in. We built a flower bed at my house. Our house, I should say, just a few weeks ago. It's a flower bed my wife has been letting me know we need for a while. And so the soil around our house just does not seem to be the world's greatest soil. I guess everybody says that, but I believe ours really is. And so I get on the phone, and, well, Brother Earl gave me the name of somebody. So I called him, told him, I said, here's what I'm doing. I'm building my wife a flower bed. And I want the good stuff. I want to know what's the best. So he said, well, this is what I use. He said, I grow roses and tomatoes and all. And I said, okay. So I bought some. And we put a retaining wall up. We filled it full of that good dirt. Why do we do that? We wanted to provide an environment for those flowers and shrubs or whatever winds up in there, little Bermuda grass, to have the best possible environment it could have. Saints, God wants that for you, the best possible environment. Young people, please God wants you to have absolutely the best environment for your happiness in your spiritual and physical and marital health that you can possibly have. Therefore, He gave us truth that we could be nurtured in, that we could be raised in, that we could set down roots in, that we could flower and bloom and produce in. That's what God wants to do for us. And He gave us His truth, that it would be a nurturer, a guide, that it would be the vitamins and the minerals of life and spirit and soul that we need. Thank the Lord for that. What if there was no truth? What if there was not? I'm glad there is. Over in Isaiah, I want you to rejoice in this scripture. Rejoice in truth, maybe I should say it better. Isaiah 35 and 6. Put yourself in the place of a tomato plant. You ever thought of yourself as a tomato plant? Well, this morning, please think of yourself briefly as a tomato plant. Someone came along and planted you in something that it's a struggle for you to wake up every morning. You really can't. They planted you with the intent of you bringing forth a tomato, and you just can stay green in that ground, okay? But one day, the good master of the house, he went and bought some soil, and he put some new soil, and he planted you in truth. Think how good you would feel if you was a tomato plant. Man, your roots would start growing and stretching out, and whoa, there's some minerals, and there's some whatever plants eat over here. And it's just all around me, and the soil is more. I don't have to push through that old clay. My roots just go out. Wouldn't you be a happy tomato plant? Listen to what he said here. Isaiah 35:6. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart. That's a deer. And the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. May God help us to rejoice in truth this morning, in its liberating power, in its ability to let you and me be what God wanted us to be and wants us to be. Think about it. Through the truth, you can please God. That's liberating. The tomato plant says, now I can do it. I've been planted in a good vineyard. I can do what I'm supposed to do. I can bring forth that big old early girl or that big boy, and it'll be round and ripe and red. And the master of the garden will come by and say, oh, look here. And, oh, he'll be so pleased with the fruit I bring forth. We can be liberated this morning, saints, to serve God in the beauty of holiness. We can leap as the hart. We can bring forth streams in the desert. Oh, the lame man can rejoice and be glad, because God has established something for us to grow in, something for us to produce in. It's called His truth. We hear the word sanctify sometimes. Well, let me go back a moment. Just think about the lame man or the tomato in the garden, in the parched ground, the desert place. Think about if there was absolutely no hope, how desperate a situation that would be. Wouldn't that be terrible? Did you know if you take truth out of the picture, there's no hope? There's no hope. Folks, your idea is as good as mine. Your square is as good as my square. Your 2 plus 2 is 4, just as good as my 2 plus 2 is 88. Doesn't matter. If there's no truth, if there's no absolutes in life through God, that's what we're talking about this morning, there's no hope. How can you change if there's nothing better to change to? How can you be a better person if God hasn't established some truths out here for you to hope in and trust in? Without the truth, there's absolutely no hope. But praise God, there is hope because there is truth. Don't be, you know, when truth comes and cuts across your life and causes you to see a need in your life, Thank God for it. Because now you can correct. You can amend. But if there was no truth, you would be stuck in that rut. Say if you're angry this morning. I hope no one's angry. But say you're just really riled up. What if there was no truth to correct you? You'd have no hope of getting out of your anger, folks. You'd just be an angry person. And people would start walking big old wide circles around you, and you'd say, why doesn't anyone love me? There'd be no truth to tell you why. There'd be no truth to tell you of something in your heart that needs to be changed. And you'd just think they're crazy. You'd have things to say about them, but there'd be no truth to correct you, see. There'd be no hope for you becoming a nice person because you thought you was right all along. Sanctify. To make holy. To consecrate. To set apart. We read the scripture a while ago, John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This word, sanctify, is to set apart, as I said, to make holy. Let's look briefly at 2 Corinthians 2:13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit in belief of the truth. I cannot tell us how necessary it is to believe the truth. If we don't believe the truth, we'll be damned. That's just no other way of saying it politely. There's no way to gloss over it. If we don't believe the truth, please don't say that's okay. Please, if someone is disputing the truth of God, please don't say, well, that's okay. You can believe what you want. Please don't use the word okay. It's bad not to believe the truth. And we, by believing the truth, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. We are brought into a relationship with God through believing the truth of God that he says you're set apart. You become a peculiar people for me. How is that? Through the Spirit, yes, and through a belief in what God has established as truth. May the Lord help us today then to believe this truth, bring it into our life. Over in Titus, he speaks about that. I quoted a little bit of it just then. Titus 2:14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all sin, all iniquity, and purify unto himself the peculiar people, an established, set apart, consecrated, sanctified people. Consecrated people, peculiar people, his alone, his prized possession. And he said that happens through you and me believing the truth. Paul Peter spoke about purifying our souls through believing the truth of God's Word. As it goes back to what I said earlier, what are you yielding to? You want to be sanctified and set apart? You want to be a peculiar saint of God? You want to be one of His chosen vessels? Do you want to be part of that jewels that He'll make up? These shall be mine, saith the Lord. When he makes up his jewels, do you want to be a part of those people that the Lord will call his? Then we've got to believe the truth. We've got to accept the truth. We've got to allow the truth to come into us. And we've got to yield ourselves to the truth. Whatever we yield ourselves to, folks, that becomes our master. It becomes our master. We can't get away from that. God help us today if we want to inherit the kingdom of righteousness here today, but certainly in eternity. Let's believe the truth. It has the power to free us from the error. It also has the power to sanctify us to God and make us part of His jewels when He makes them up. One thing about truth, too, it's often maligned. You ever seen that? God's Word has been maligned, I suppose, more than anything else. Why? Because I believe it's so essential. It's so necessary, the Word of God is, the truth of God. And where is going to be the most serious attacks? It's going to be at the strong places too. And when someone has the Word of God, that's going to be attacked. It's often maligned. There's a proverb that I read the other day, and I really practiced on this word in Spanish. But I'm not going to try to say it. I listened on the computer, and I tried to pronounce those words in Spanish, and it just would not come out the way that lady on the computer was saying it. But here's what it said in English. Truth suffers, but it does not perish. Thank the Lord for that. I read that, and I thought, you know, if I could just say that in Spanish like they write it, I'd do that. But it's a good proverb. Truth suffers. It is maligned. It is accused. There are charlatans out there, folks, that will misalign it, that will put it in another direction, not apply it correctly. It will suffer the reproach of the world. It will be laughed at. It will be ridiculed. But according to this proverb, it does not perish. The truth of the Lord endureth forever. There's a line that's been drawn through the ages of time. It's God's truth, God's Word. And I don't care how far you go back, it's there. And I don't care how far in the future you go, it'll be there. And all along the way, you can see fiery darts. You can see missiles, and you can see lies. You can see false prophets. You can see backsliders. You can see all kind of things that have come against it and tried to pull it out of shape. But that line has continued right straight on. Thank God for that. Praise God for that. He talks about over in 2 Peter. 2 Peter. 2nd chapter. And first three verses. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. May we understand this morning from the God of this world and His influences. And He said, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. May the Lord help us this morning. Let's don't be among those that Paul wrote about that they would turn their ears from the truth. Let's don't turn our ears from the truth. Do we understand this morning that truth is our lifeline? God's truth is our lifeline. You're going to be an engineer someday, young man or young woman, when you graduate. You got to learn some truths. And you're going to learn calculus, and you're going to learn quantum this and quantum that. You say, I've got out of my territory right quick. You're going to learn a lot of things. You better apply it when you go to work for that company just the way you learned it, you were taught it. Don't you go and start doing your physics your way. They're going to say, you know, we don't need you anymore. It's going to be a destructive way. There's a devil out there whose perniciousness, his destruction, and his evil ways are trying to infiltrate you and me and bring on us that same destruction that's been limited to him. So may God help us not to turn our ears away from the truth. Scripture I've always enjoyed. It's always been a blessing to me. What if some did not believe? Romans 1:3. What if some did not believe? Does that make the faith of God a lie and the Word of God a lie? The truth of God a lie? Nay, let God be true. Let every man be a liar. What if there's the maligner? What if there is the gainsayer? Don't let that persuade you otherwise. Paul said, I know in whom I believe. Please, this morning. You can't learn it all through me. In fact, you'll learn very little through me. But you learn it at the feet of Jesus. Mary chose the better part, and it wouldn't be taken away from her. Set at Jesus' feet. Learn His Word. Learn His truths. Allow Him to, if I may say, spiritually educate us. The last little thought this morning. We need a great love for the truth. Proverb writer said it this way, buy the truth, sell it not. Truth is not a commodity that I want to trade off. Truth is not a commodity that really can be traded off. I can turn loose of it and I can accept something else, but I can't change truth. I can't change the judgments of God. I can't change the Word of God. I can trade it off and say I'm not going to believe it anymore. I can let some guy come along and says it real sweet and pretty some other way. And I say, hey man, I like the way he combs his hair. And I can go with him. But I have not changed the truth and neither has he. The truth is still the truth. In my own life, I don't want to barter away what God has established as truth. So the writer said, buy it and sell it not. But we can sell it, folks. We can trade it off for our own whims, our own ways, for the perniciousness of the devil. We can trade it off because I got my feelings hurt. And I can say, well, I know I'm supposed to forgive, but I'm not. But the truth is, if you don't forgive your brother, we can't get away from that, see. Over in 2 Thessalonians, talking about pernicious ways, dangerous ways. Let me show you another very dangerous way. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10. Talking about, I suppose, the man of sin, different things. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they may be saved, that they may be changed, that they may be corrected, that they may be led, that they may be transformed, that they may be made a new creature. They didn't receive a real genuine respect, love, worship for what God has done and truth. And now they're led about in destructive ways, pernicious ways, dangerous ways. And they perish because of it. The trouble with spiritual error, folks, the trouble with believing a lie concerning one's own soul and one's own estate, is that if you follow that thing long enough, it's going to fall into a great abyss of hell. That's the danger of it, see. It's got more than that. But the great danger is that if you follow it, it's the way of death. Oh, Lord, help us to love the truth. It's our way out of hell. It's our way out of sin. It's our lifeline to God. May we not lose that and barter it away, but may we keep it. May our integrity with God be based upon following and obeying and having His truth written in the tables of our heart. He said that they received not a love of the truth. That's why they got deceived. That's why the man of sin had an influence on them. That's why false doctrines has an influence on people. That's why unforgiveness stays around. That's why hurt feelings stay around. Because they receive not a love of the truth. May God help us. And old brother John, maybe down toward his end, he said, I have no greater joy. This is in 3 John, 1st chapter. Than to hear that thy children walk in truth. John said it, but I believe God could say amen to it. God had John write it. It brings God no greater joy than to know His children walk in truth. He wept over Jerusalem. We read that in Sunday school this morning. Because He extended Himself as a mother hen to the chicks. And they refused Him. It hurt and broke His heart. I believe by that we can say that Jesus Christ would wholeheartedly agree with John. I have no greater joy to hear that my children, thy children, walk in truth. This morning, thank God for the truth. I remember 10 plus years ago, some of the saints had a little bumper sticker that said, thank God for the truth. I don't really have a lot of objections. I have a little objections to it, but not a lot. But it needs to be not just a byword, this thing called truth. It's got to be way more than a bumper sticker, folks. It's got to be written on the tables of my heart and yours. I can say I thank God for the truth till I'm another color. It won't change a thing, folks. It's got to be in my heart. The heart has got to be changed by the truth dwelling therein. So thank God this morning for the truth. In Jesus, John wrote, I have no greater joy. You want to make God happy this morning? Walk in truth. You want to be the man you ought to be? Walk in truth. You want to be the woman you ought to be? Walk in truth. You want to have God look on you and say, look at my jewels. Walk in truth. I have no greater joy, God said, than to hear that my children walk in truth. Pray for me.